The Guardian.
Hello, I'm Alexis Petridis. This is Music Weekly. In this week's programme, champion of contemporary African music, Eddie Frankel, discusses the similarities between Kurdish wedding music and Metallica.
Most of the wedding music involves something like three drummers and a guy playing an instrument called a saz through a Boss Metal Zone distortion pedal. And it sounds like lightning bolt. It's insane. No one would ever really like think to listen to it. And out to them, it's just wedding music.
Dells drops in to perform live in the studio and tells us why MySpace is still useful.
I sent a message to just Hot Chip in general to saying I was really inspired by the album. Joe got back to me and said, I've just checked out your MySpace, want to work with you.
Really?
And I was just like, oh, that's really weird. Kind of like logged out of the computer, signed back into MySpace again, it was there.
And in the Singles Club, we'll be listening to tracks by Washed Out, Grimes and Graceful Exit. That's all to come in Music Weekly from The Guardian. In the studio this week, Rosie Swash, as ever, and Tim Jones. Hello to you both.
Hi.
Rosie, what have you been up to? What's been the highlight of your week thus far?
Well, nothing exciting this week, but I've got a musical-based dilemma for next week that maybe you could help me with.
I'll help you.
On next Thursday, it's Adam Buxton's very funny Bug Night, where he talks about music videos, and it's the 25th one, which I'd really like to go to. But there's also this festival in Manchester where they've got called Future Everything. That's like Steve Reich is playing, but they're also Daz Racist, Warpaint, excuse to go back to Manchester.
Are you from Manchester?
Time.
Are you
living
in Manchester?
You can tell with my accent.
I was going to say, I thought because of your thick Moss Side accent.
I went to university there.
Did you? I didn't know that.
I actually hated it. But
did you?
Yeah.
Why?
I found it boring.
Manchester? The legendarily boring city of Manchester.
It was during that period just before they'd rebuilt it all. After the IRA bomb. So
it was between the IRA bomb and the rebuilding?
Yeah.
Wow.
And when I've been back since then, it feels like a really kind
Sorry, wasn't that like the early 90s when Manchester was exploding with vibrant...
Bombs?
No. Vibrant bombs. A bomb of vibrancy, an art bomb.
You think I went to university in the early 90s?
When did you go to university?
2001.
My God. Tim, what have you been up to, Tim? What's been going on in your world?
I went to Berlin, boring. Went to New York,
You went to Berlin, boring. what were you doing in Berlin?
I wasn't really in Berlin. I was just doing a Rosie Swash style
guide
to the world.
So what have you actually been doing? Can you answer my question sensibly, please?
What have I been doing? I've been watching Leighton Orient fail to make the playoffs.
Right.
Went to the Odd Future.
How was Odd Future?
Odd Future
was that on the day of the Royal Wedding?
It was on the day of the Royal Wedding. It's quite funny. Tyler had... Kate Middleton and the Queen mask that he was wearing, because I saw them in South by Southwest and it was so wild and crazy.
Right,
it wasn't quite as good. Watching
what
it again.
Wasn't as good? The audience wasn't as good.
The audience definitely weren't as good. There weren't people having their nose broken.
Did somebody get their nose broken when you saw them? Wow, amazing.
The audience weren't quite as wild, and also the sound at Village Underground is not particularly.
Should
clear.
They not have been playing in a Shoreditch hipster? Hangout.
Should they should have been playing where the sound is so precise. I think they need to be playing at the Royal Albert Hall.
I'm going to see Roger Waters perform The Wall live next week.
Right.
Isn't that amazing? Yeah. I've got to review it.
Do you like The Wall?
No. Well, I mean, no. I don't know. I don't really know. I used to like it. Like that 12. So there's something about it. I saw Roger Waters live a few years ago, and it was
weird.
A bit...
Huh? 12-year-old liking The Wall.
Oh, that's nothing.
No, it's got
you don't
that,
know the half of it.
It has got quite a...
It's got the kids.
It's a melancholic kind of... Yeah. It's also quite childish
exactly. In
its view of the world.
Yeah.
Everybody's against me. You know what I mean? And I'm also, in terms of reliving my youth, going to go and see the 14 Ice Bears, the obscure C86 band who have reformed and are playing in a pub at the end of my road in Brighton on Sunday night. And I'm actually really looking forward to seeing them because they're a really underrated band. So there you go. Anyway, this is all very boring. Let's get on with the week's show. Rosie, who have you been talking to this week?
I've been talking to a man called Eddie Frankel.
I've never heard of him.
Let me explain. A few weeks ago... Or some such recent past. I listened to a song by a guy called Nguni Lovers Lovers, or a band called Nguni Lovers Lovers. And I noticed that it's out next week on an a record label called Dream Beach, which is a brand new imprint of Moshi Moshi, who are...
Interesting. Now, just to clarify, this is actually an African band rather than a bunch of kind of...
Yes, exactly.
...post-Vampire Weekend people from East London or something like that who've called themselves Nguni Lovers Lovers.
Exactly. And so I thought it would be interesting. I went and had a look at the Dream Beach blog, which has got all kinds of different non-Western music. I mean, that's Eddie Frankel's thing, is looking into non-Western music. But whatever you do, don't call it world music.
My main aim is to release non-Western music, but to avoid the world music crowd and to try and aim it at people who are into Indian punk music.
Why do you want to avoid the world music crowd? What does that mean?
Well, I think world music, I obviously love world music, otherwise I wouldn't be doing this, but I think the genre itself has aged pretty badly and has a really terrible reputation. And I think amongst people who I know, world music really scares them off. And so the minute they hear something's African or that's got a world music label, you know, it really turns them off the music. I think that's a shame because there's so much great music all over the world. And it's pretty ridiculous that, you know, we would only listen to, you know, American or English music.
And as you pointed out, so much of the music that we do listen to from the UK and from the US is in itself taking some of the best bits from music from elsewhere.
So many artists now are really influenced by African music. A lot of people are really open to listening to Vampire Weekend and Gang Gang Dance, but they're kind of scared to go towards African music itself. And so hopefully I think that if it's presented to them in a way that they're used to, like in a DIY sort of way, on 7 inches limited edition, that kind of thing.
And on your blog.
Yeah, and on the blog. Hopefully,
the way most people discover this stuff these days.
Yeah, hopefully that'll help act as a bridge between the two worlds.
So how did you discover Nguni Lovers Lovers?
I found them through a contact in Kenya. So I'd started the idea of Dream Beach. And in order to release music from Africa, I have to have people out in Africa who help me, because it's really difficult. You'd think that in this age of technological wonders, it'd be really easy to contact musicians in Africa, but it's really hard. And so I have a couple of people in different places who send me suggestions, and then they deal with the contracts and stuff like that. And so there's a friend of mine who lives in Kenya, and he sent that to me.
And what do we know about Nguni Lovers Lovers?
Not a lot. It's the project of a guy called Alex Kassau, who's very young. I think he's 19 now. And
he's
his
guy
band.
That appears on the artwork in the football t-shirt.
He's very young, and he's from a really small town called Mulolongo, which is a trucker's town. So it's really a pretty crap town, basically. It's awful. And he's also from a tribe called the Akamba. And he makes kamba music, which is a kind of Kenyan guitar music, which is faster than normal Kenyan guitar music.
But back to your blog, which I was rooting through the other day. Tell us about Kurdish shredding music, which is on there.
I basically spend far too much time trawling YouTube and Dailymotion and French websites like that, trying to find music. And I stumble on Kurdish wedding music, and I was just so shocked. It's super distorted music. Most of the wedding music involves something like three drummers and a guy playing an instrument called a saz through a Boss Metal Zone distortion pedal. And it sounds like Lightning Bolt. It's insane. And no one would ever really like think to listen to it. And out to them, it's just wedding music. It's traditional stuff. And it's so insane. It's fantastic.
So what's the name of the instrument
it's
he plays?
It's called a saz.
A saz. Presumably that is a kind of guitar. It's in the guitar family.
Yeah, yeah.
What does it look like?
It looks like a lute, but a very small, long lute.
Lute.
And it's a lute, like Sting.
The Kurdish thing.
The Kurdish thing.
But shredding.
But shredding. And it's just so fast. And the song that I've put on this playlist by Granny Tufan, it sounds like Metallica and Lightning Bolt to me, but with electronic drums. It's just so bizarre. It's fantastic.
And you're saying you've got contacts out in Kenya. How, you know... Is Granny Tufan going to come out on your label, or is
really
it just
hope
so. So you're trying to get in contact with him?
Yeah, but he doesn't speak any English.
Yeah,
and so I've used Google Translate to translate into Turkish and Kurdish, and he's tried to do the same back into English, and it's just unintelligible. So I'm trying with the Kurdish Community Center. They're trying to help me translate, I hope.
Another thing which I came across on your blog was Joseph Kamaru, mm-hmm. and he has a Kenyan country and western music, and it, you know, really is country and western music. Tell us a bit about that.
Country music is hugely popular in Kenya, and it was sent to me by the contact who showed me Nguni Lovers Lovers. I was having a discussion with him about, you know, the appropriation of African music by Western musicians. And he was saying, it just doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if Western, like, you know, it's not bad for Western musicians to take African music, because, you know, look at West African funk, which came, you know, largely influenced by James Brown. And he said, listen to the country music. And what? Country music? And he sent me these links, and Joseph Kamaru makes Kenyan country music.
But they are, it is, you know, inspired by country music from the US of A.
Yeah, in the same way as West African funk, people found a bunch of James Brown records and thought, let's do this and make it better. Joseph Kamaru thought, I love country, I'm going to do it.
Nguni Lovers Lovers, that is the debut release on Dream Beach.
Yep.
And what is the name of the track?
Chesn Goma.
And what can we expect from? Is it a sort of step by step?
It really, really is.
Oh, don't rub your eyes. It should be a labour of love.
It is, but labour is the right word. It's such hard work. It's, you know, it's so different from trying to release punk music and DIY music,
which is what you do, which is your day job.
Yeah, it's just completely different. It's such a steep learning curve. Everyone's going, so what's your next release? I'm like, I don't know. No one's replying to my emails. No one speaks English.
This is great. This is really, really good, isn't it? Lots of stuff there that I had, all of it I'd never heard before, in fairness. Mm. But really, really good. Wedding music, just amazing.
I like the thought of him going to the Kurdish Community Centre and trying to get someone to translate it, and them just not understanding why he's so interested in Kurdish wedding music. It's just wedding music.
No, it's odd that something would seem so normal within the Kurdish. You know what I mean?
I suppose
would seem so weird. And that Kenyan country and western music,
fantastic,
amazing,
so good.
That's absolutely brilliant. You wonder, you know, how much success he will have in pulling world music out of the world music, you know, bracket, because I know exactly what he means. Mm. There is that kind of 80s thing attached to it of being quite worthy, and you know what I mean? I went to see Amadou and Miriam, who were great, you know. I went to see them live in Brighton, and there was a lot of, I mean, there's young people there, because Damon Albarn had worked with him on the album and stuff like that, but there was also a lot of people who'd fought in the world music wars in the 80s, as you might expect in Brighton, and you know, they could remember when it was all Andy Kershaw around it, and they were doing the white bloke dancing to African music dance, you know, and it was sort of a bit kind of embarrassing, not for Amadou and Miriam, you know, because they were brilliant, but for that kind of thing, and I quite like the idea of trying to take it out of that context. And I suppose there's been a bit of that recently with people like Kanono Number One, who people are coming at from much more of an electronic angle. And also some that stuff on that label, Sublime Frequencies, which seems to present, you know, more Middle Eastern maybe music in a kind of different way. Omar Suleiman, who's amazing.
And also at his gigs, there's hardly any kind of that kind of people who fought
in the
war.
Yeah, it's all like the Vice Crowd.
It's total hipsters, isn't
it? Yeah, yeah, yeah. So I think also because he was... The first time I heard him, it was like Damon Albarn had done some sort of, it was like takeover of Zane Lowe's show or something like that, and he played Leb Jani by Omar Suleiman, and that was just, this is like properly amazing, you know. Tim, what did you make of it all?
I thought it was brilliant. I mean, to me, the fascination with stuff like this is the novelty at first, and I have no idea if I'll be listening to that in a year's time or not, but I love the actual... I mean, it sounded great, and I just love the fact that you can say, you know.
Well, I was interested to hear how much involvement he has in it, and he's obviously very interested in the origins of this stuff, despite the fact that he's having difficulty speaking to most of the people involved in making the music. And it kind of reminded me of the approach that Soul Jazz have to putting out their occasional, like, you know, they'll start to put out a 16 track compilation of Brazilian funk or something like that, and they'll have gone over there, and it'll be a very anthropological approach to it, and that's
digging,
really,
isn't it?
Exactly, crate digging on a real international scale. And I think that's really interesting. People are certainly more interested in that kind of story now than I think they ever would have been, you know, in the, with that attachment to, with his description of world music and what you were talking about.
I think it's also just in the sense that that world music thing in the 80s, you know, which of course I'm a million years old, I'm old enough to remember first time around. I saw the Bundu Boys live, actually. They were properly amazing. And those records do, the first couple of Bundu Boys albums, which exactly at the time it was total novelty and it would crop in the middle of the John Peel show in amongst, you know what I mean, C86 bands and, you know, Sonic Youth and stuff. But those records, first two Bundu Boys albums really stand up. They're just brilliant, brilliant songs.
Mm. But he's also right that, you know, as soon as people, you know, as soon as you get the Animal Collective, Yesayer kind of Vampire Weekend crowd, you immediately get the crowd of people that want to be, oh, well, of course, this just is a total rip-off of, you know, you know, well, they want to know.
You know, I think that stuff in the 80s was definitely boosted by, you know, and everyone laughs when you say Graceland by Paul Simon, but that was like a gateway record for loads of people. It's the first time they'd heard, you know, either Ladysmith, Black Mambazo or blah, blah, blah. And I think Vampire Weekend have acted in that kind of way, and you can't take that away from them. You know, I think they're a pretty good band. But, you know, that it's alerted people to, you know, a fairly non-specific African guitar sound, which nobody else has really done, really. You know what I mean? There's not really been that influence, I think, in indie music. And for that reason, I think they're probably kind of a good thing. Mm. I know what you mean. I know there's going to be people going,
that's not a slight on Vampire Weekend. That's just an aspect of the kind of, you know... There's a video of a real hipster band playing their music to a kindergarten class, and all the kids are going nuts except for one little kid who's just standing there, and someone left a YouTube comment underneath that just says, that's a hipster kid, in years to come he'll be like, yeah, I saw them back in the day, you know. It's that attitude of I read this on a blog 2 years ago of attitude that will probably,
but there's always going to be dickheads.
Yeah,
isn't there? I mean, in any music, because there are a lot of dickheads generally speaking in the world, and therefore whatever music,
and they really like the internet.
Oh, yeah, oh, man, yeah.
Dickens, big on the internet.
Catnip, isn't it? Well, look, if you can help Eddie with any of the issues raised in this interview, if you've been affected by any of the issues raised in this interview, now, if you do know any means of getting in contact with these people, I mean, you know, the internet is a wide thing. You might know something about Kenyan country and Western music that he doesn't. You can contact him through Twitter at the symbol Dreamy Beach, all one word, DREAMYBEACH. And he's kindly put together a playlist for us on the Music Weekly blog. Okay, time for some new tracks in Singles Club, our regular feature. Here's the first one. This is My Choice. Okay, that's Graceful Exit, My Choice for the Week. Their new single, Revolve Disco, which is out on DFA Records. It's the work of a producer called Walter Jones, who seems to have been putting out records incredibly sporadically for a very, very long time. The last single he did for DFA, which came out under his own name, came out in, I think, 2009. It was a single called I'll Keep On Loving You. It sounded quite different to that, a very slow motion, sort of summery sounding disco, again influenced tune, and it was one of my favourite records of 2009. And what I like about that, which seems a lot more commercial and a lot more upbeat, is the sort of contrast between the oomphiness of the backing track and the fragility of the vocal. I think it works really, really well as something kind of like mumbling and sort of fragile and weak, and, you know, rather than having some sort of diva belting it out over the top, I think it might be him singing, because it sounds not unlike the vocal on I'll Keep On Loving You. And I just really like it. That's all I've really got to say about it. Rosie?
I loved the vocals. I didn't know very much about Walter Jones, or Walter Merlin Jones,
Walter
as
Merlin
he sometimes
Jones. He now
goes.
Appears to have become, yeah. He was just Walter Jones on his last album.
And I did a bit of digging around and listened to some of his older stuff, and I think I saw in a Q&A him talking about how he'd, you know, reluctantly sung on his own records because he couldn't find anyone to do it, and he just sort of stepped up to the mic. And I know that Arthur Russell gets a lot of reference points these days, but similarly that kind of fragility, yeah. But a lot of soulfulness there within it.
Yeah.
But I hate the guitars on that record.
Really?
With a passion. As soon as I heard it in the first box, I thought, I'm going to hate this song.
What is it?
They're
about the
just
guitars?
Really typical disco. Ding, ding. Ding, ding. So annoying. If those are guitars, weren't they? It might almost be a perfect track, but it's just like his kind of vocals. I think one of the other tracks that I liked of his is called Living Without Your Love, which
yeah,
it, is another.
That as well. That's brilliant.
And that's got a really springy, dominant bass line, and it's a little bit more of that drum machine sound.
Yeah. Sort of electro-y.
Yeah, that kind of rolling sound. So that I really liked, but this was sort of tipping on the other side of the spectrum, and I was just like, I hate those guitars.
Tim, did you have any thoughts on the guitars?
I didn't have the same revulsion when I when I heard the guitars. I thought the guitars were perfectly fine. It sounded to me, we were talking about crate digging, it sounded to me like the sort of thing like Horse Meat Disco might be putting together.
Absolutely.
A compilation, and then they were like, wow, we found a real gem. So it's quite interesting that it's like a new record. I just agree about the vocals as well. They're like half whispered almost, but also I think they were really pent up with quite a lot of passion.
I agree. Yeah, absolutely.
Which is so good. They weren't just like wispy and fey, were they? They were really.
I think it's good in that you're getting a lot of music at the moment that people are actively trying to sound like Arthur Russell, like vocally. You know what I mean? There's his voice, which is incredibly distinctive. A lot of people are copying at the moment, and I think this captures something of the mood of those kind of records without actually being, you know what I mean, in any way a kind of. I mean, it doesn't particularly sound like an Arthur Russell record,
but
I take the point about it.
He's been around since this Walter Jones one's been around for a good 20 years.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
These vocals are by someone called Ellipsis, but I don't know.
Oh, right.
That might be, you know, could well be an alter ego, but yeah, that's reading about it.
Maybe someone on the internet could tell us.
Maybe they can. Well, look, that is Graceful Exit. That's Revolve Disco. It's out now, I think, on 12-inch only on DFA. This is next. This is Tim's Choice. Tim, this is your choice. Why don't you tell us what it is?
It's Washed Out, Eyes Be Closed. We got very excited on the music site about Washed Out at the end of 2009.
Who are Washed Out?
Well, Washed Out, I guess, are the probably your archetypal chillwave act. Pretty much everything about them has those chillwave signifiers. And they were early on that whole thing, weren't they? Like I said, 2009 is when we got excited. And then we had them in our buzz graph. We had them in our buzz graph where we plotted how well people would do throughout the year. And they were our big tip for 2010.
Wow.
But He didn't seem to do anything, this guy, throughout the whole year.
He was leapfrogged by Beach House.
And loads of people kind of. He didn't put an album out.
He was put off by the Buzzcraft, to be honest.
The pressure of the Buzzcraft that we had on the site was quite immense. But now he's kind of back. It's Ernest Green is his name. He sounds basically the same as he sounded in 2009, which I love the sound, but I'm just. I worry a bit that it's a bit too late to be saying, I'm here, everyone, because this sound has now become almost...
The chill wave sound is over? Really? I mean, obviously, you're never away from it. I mean, you can't turn the radio on or the telly without it. Chill wave. Enough already with a chill wave.
Beyonce's new record.
I know, chill wave. Is it?
No.
It's meant to be indie, though, Beyonce's new record.
I don't know if she's working with Frank Ocean and...
Diplo. No, Switch, is it?
Switch. Yeah, all the new...
Yeah, so it's not indie. Somebody told me it's an indie record. I thought she was working with, you know, 14 Ice Pets. Amazing.
I would say that, to be honest, 18 months in this day and age is a long time. You can kind of laugh about that, but actually 18 months is a long time to...
But isn't that just that sort of the hyper speed world of the blogs where everybody's moved on and this, that and the other? And you know what I mean? The wider public haven't necessarily... don't necessarily consume music at that pace. I mean, look at what's been big. You know, probably the only guitar band that's really been big in the last sort of 12 months in a massive sense, Mumford & Sons. And, you know, that new folk thing, that's 6 years ago, you know.
Maybe
what I mean?
Maybe we can expect this to hit number one in 2013.
And their album was out in 2013. Yeah, their album was out in 2009. They won a load of Brit Awards this year. So. Mm.
Rosie, do you like it?
I do, but then while we were listening to it, Tim said, on the other hand, can't you just imagine someone saying halfway through this, and now move to downward facing dog, like a yoga class. I do Pilates class every week, and they do play 07, the XX, like there's a
the
certain
XX.
Yeah, I know. I mean, that's pretty cool for a Pilates class, let's
cool,
say.
Yeah.
But then you do think, is it just like 07, but we're all allowed to like it in 2011? I don't know.
Well, it's a new age as well. We were all talking earlier about how like world music has this kind of history, and this, you know, this is kind of would have been kind of quite laughed at in the mid 90s or something, wouldn't it? Yeah. And now it's like the sound.
It's interesting, isn't it? Because there is that point, I suppose, where I suppose the people that are influencing chillwave, like the Cocteau Twins and things like that, there's this sort of slight dividing line where it turns into, not the Cocteau Twins records don't, but where it turns into that kind of weird sort of rambling
chill
music they play.
Well,
not even that, but that sort of stuff. You know, if you ever go for like a massage or something,
and
there's that kind of weird music in the background that just goes on. It never seems to stop.
I went to a chiropractor and they played like sort of spiritual rap. And there was
rap.
A rap all about Gandhi. Pretty hard to relax, I've got to say.
Yeah.
There's a rap about Gandhi going on. Pretty hard to get in touch with yourself at that point.
I tell you what, when I first did my back in through kind of hunching over a computer for years and years, I went to this guy who does deep tissue massages, like proper hardcore, And he's the guy that he dealt with the British ski team, you know, he was like hardcore dude. And he played... The music he played while he was doing this massage was the James Brown album that has Living in America on it.
That's
so
unusual.
There was that. And also while he was giving me a massage, he would tell me at great length about the disintegrating state of his marriage. So impossible to relax because there's this guy going,
diversion
and then she
therapy.
Did this and she hasn't even bothered to so-and-so. And the back of the room, oh, hit me, you know, good person. So yeah, that was kind of weird.
But, you know, maybe if they move into the kind of massage and yoga business, then Chillwave has a future.
Yeah.
Okay, final track this week is... Actually, Tim, before we move on, tell us where that can be found.
It's doing the rounds on the blogs via SoundCloud. If you Google Washed Out, Eyes Be Closed, you'll find it.
That sounds great. Okay, final track this week is from Rosie. That was Grimes with Vanessa. Rosie, that's your choice. I love that. It's really good. I was unaware of her work before you alerted me to it. Tell us about Grimes. She's Canadian.
Canadian. Her real name is Claire Boucher. I'm not exactly sure how you pronounce it. Tim and I went to South by Southwest earlier this year, and I was very excited by the prospect of seeing Grimes because the description of it was weird pop influenced by R&B, industrial goth, hip-hop and Western medieval organum. And I thought, that sounds right up my street.
That sounds amazing.
And I accidentally went to the wrong venue and saw a band called White Lightning from Detroit, who are a brother and sister combo.
Named after the cider.
White Mystery, not White Lightning. From Chicago, not Detroit, from Chicago.
So apart from that, you got the name of the band wrong and where they're
unbelievable
from.
Unbelievable that I got the venue wrong, isn't it? I'm so clued up. Anyway, they were not good. But and so I missed Grimes in South by Southwest. I missed her in London. So I wanted to bring her on here and just say that I absolutely love this song. It's my favourite one. She's got three or four knocking around the blogs at the moment. And this is by far the best, in my opinion. It does sound like it's influenced by all the things she says it is. And I think... You know, a bit melancholy, ethereal in a Casio keyboard kind of way. Great singing voice. It's actually incredibly simple. There's not a lot of bells and whistles at all to this record. It's just really good.
It reminded me a bit of the sort of dancier end of what Feist does.
Yeah.
I could see that influence in that. I thought it was a really, really good song. Video's great as well.
Yeah,
video's really, really, really worth checking out. Tim?
Yeah, I liked it. When I first heard it, I thought it was... I kind of instantly heard it as a more kind of eccentric, female, slightly twee, indie song. And then as I listened to it more, I realised it was really influenced by kind of rave and house music in a way.
It's big old piano.
And those snippets of the vocals. But it's doing what all those bands like Salem and Holy Other are doing, where it's taking these fragments and making them dreamy and making them kind of a bit... taking the euphoria out of them and turn them into more whispery, ghostly things. So
there was a track, there was a track a couple of years ago by a band called Rubies that Feist sang on, and Tie Dye, who is a sort of production duo from the States, did a remix of it, and it sounded quite similar to that. It came out on a label called Italians Do It Better. So there you go. No, I really like that. I'd be intrigued to hear other stuff by her. It's from a split vinyl only album with some other bloke.
But yet again, if you Google Grimes plus Vanessa plus SoundCloud,
you'll find it on SoundCloud.
why buy a split vinyl?
Okay, some tweets and comments from last week's programme now before we move on. You may remember it was our Beastie Boys special. Dave Portivo says, "Thank you guys for getting me to play Ultramagnetic MCs again. I hadn't listened to them since I was about 12. The energy and impact of Critical Beatdown is just ridiculous." On the comments page, The James writes, "The Beasties never really got their dues as musicians." Interesting. "Their versatility to mix and amalgamate genres seamlessly from track to track without it feeling forced or incongruous to the flow of the album almost doesn't exist anywhere else in hip-hop. Possibly The Roots? Possibly." And Sinner says, "The new Beasties album is certainly a return to form. It's also interesting that Mixmaster Mike and Keyboard Money Mark are not credited on this cut. Here's hoping they're still on board for the live shows. Money Mark beating the shit out of his keyboard to Sabotage is worth the price of the ticket alone." Well, thank you very much for your comments this week and the retweets. You can follow us on at Music Weekly Pod, all one word, or you can leave a longer comment on the blog at guardian.co.uk/musicweekly. Now, Ipswich-based hot chip-loving Dells is in the studio, ready to play a live track. A bit earlier, Rosie caught up with him to find out about his new album.
My name's Dells. I'm a rapper signed to Big Dada Ninja Tune. Got an album out now, which is called Gob. For infinity, moonshine for your bloodstream, no remedy. Equivalent to slime when I rhyme, can't belly me. Can't stomach the bars, I'm dark flow ebony. It derived from me and Quez messing around with song titles, and I just thought it'd be perfect for a hip hop record, just because it's a British word, it's really punchy, and it also means to spit as well, which is great for hip hop.
Quez is one of the people you worked on the album with. Who fits quite an eclectic range of people. Who are the others?
The others are Mikachu and Joe Goddard from the band Hop Chip.
How did you get him? How did all of those things come about?
MySpace, actually.
Really?
Yeah. I met them all on MySpace back in 2005, 2004, whilst I was studying at university. I sent a message to just Hop Chip in general, just saying I was really inspired by the album. Joe got back to me and said, "I've just checked out your MySpace, want to work with you."
Really?
Yeah, and I was just like, oh, that's really weird. And kind of like logged out of the computer, signed back into MySpace again, it was there, and met him in person. That's how I like met Mikachu, Quez, Ghost Poet, Sampha, all these people through MySpace, basically. Alan Tamara, who also plays in my band.
I can't believe it actually works.
Yeah,
like, that's what MySpace would love to have you believe.
Totally.
It actually works.
Yeah.
So the decision to make music came when you'd already moved to London. Was it quite a late thing?
No. I've been making music since I was 16 years old. I used to be in this two-step garage band called The Alliance. We did a John Peel session when we were about 17, 18 years old. And we're always making music in the background. And due to creative differences, I kind of just went and did my own thing. It's not something that I've planned to do. It's kind of just like happened organically. I'm not an exhibitionist, so when I first started playing live, it was really, really tough for me, just because I was naturally quite a shy person.
Mm. It's funny because rappers are not usually shy.
Yeah, I guess. My label boss, Will Ashen, he said I'm more Ian Curtis than I am Jay-Z on stage.
Well, as long as you don't end up the way
you
it's all right.
Yeah.
So tell us a bit about the song that you're going to play for us.
So the track Moonshining is literally a song that kind of like takes on a life of its own. It's quite similar to Trumpalump structure-wise.
Start somewhere, end somewhere completely different.
Yeah, I remember it was like late at night, and hence the reason why it's called Moonshining, and emptied my thoughts. And so it's about the frustrations with my job and some of the stuff that comes along with my job and how stressful it can be, and then kind of just morphs into this kind of like love song, I guess.
Okay, let's hear the track.
If you liquidize my words, you would dance for infinity. Moonshine for your bloodstream, no remedy. Equivalent to slime when I rhyme, can't belly me. Can't stomach the bars on dark flow ebony. Solar energy, I'm naturally high. If I can't touch mics, I might actually die. I mean, actually die, like soul touch the sky. Legging on the cloud with a baked world pie. If you wanna hear knife gun crime, feel free to change the channel, cause I'm not your guy. Now, here's a clean flannel, sonny, wipe your eye. You're getting a emotional, now please don't cry on me. Tired of these kids calling me cunt, calling me prick. From pencils about who threw that hit my lip. This dress kinda follows me home, fills up my space. This job kinda grates and my bones can't erase. Step the blind leading the blind. You slap visioning, riot over leggings and things that are glistening. And this is the world that we're living in. Mic check 1, 2, are you listening? As I hopscotch over sick trying to get home, the sirens are screaming, headphones are blown. Longer for the moonlight, longer for the stars. Longer for my bed, oh I'm longer for Mars. I need sleep, awkward thoughts pouring out the dome. After work drinks got me walking kinda slow. Like a polar bear, casually walking through the snow. We're moonshining. We're moonshining. With this moonshine and reflecting reflections, we use the moonlight in the dark as a weapon. Our hearts made of glass, tell me what do you see? A heart skylark in our fantasy. With this moonshine and reflecting reflections, we use the moonlight in the dark as a weapon. Our hearts made of glass, tell me what do you see? A heart skylark in our fantasy
That's Dells performing live in the studio for Music Weekly, a track called Moonshining. The album Gob was released this week. It's really good.
It's very good. Interesting.
Really interesting, different take on UK rap. Mm. I thought kind of tangential, strange, much more left field. Liked it a lot.
Yes.
Which obviously is the stamp of approval that every British like hip-hop it. Album needs is, do I like it or not? But anyway, yeah, go out and check it out. It's really good. That is all for now. My thanks, as ever, to Rosie Swash.
Thank you.
Thanks, Tim, for coming in.
It's been a bloody pleasure.
A bloody pleasure. Amazing. We'll be back next Friday. I'm Alexis Petridis. The programme was produced by Matt Hill. See you next week. Bye-bye.
For more great downloads, go to guardian.co.uk/audio.